Ricky, welcome to McGinnis on Tap. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'd love to have you. It was great to catch up with you the other night down in Hilton Head. I like to take care of the business part of things first before fun. So let's start off by talking about your new relationship with the good folks from Crowne Plaza. How'd that come about? How's it going?
Well, you need a good hotel to stay in.
Yes, you do.
I got obviously, you know about the schedule, spending quite a bit of time on the road, and it's just a nice place to stay, get my workouts in, a good place to get a breakfast, start the day, and then for the kind of the weekday travelers right now, they got the travel bonus going where stay 2 weekday nights in a row and get a $50 prepaid MasterCard, so it's not a bad way to walk away from the hotel.
No, it sounds great. And you're doing some commercials with Ian Baker Finch that sound like they're a lot of fun. Did you know Ian very well before this?
Yeah, I've been around Ian a bit. We both spent some time down in the Jupiter West Palm area and play out a Medalist. So, it was fun to do the shoot with him, and I thought it turned out pretty good.
Now, when you play with IBF, does he ask for shots these days?
He hasn't asked for them yet. I'm hoping he does. I don't want to really give him any.
Well, he is a major championship winner, but he's old, you know, he's getting older.
He's a couple years older than me, so I mean, maybe if he asked, he might get teased, but I don't know if he wants to take those.
Yeah, he's getting paid pretty well by CBS, so he's probably just going to go ahead and pay things off. How are you doing right now? You're playing some pretty good golf. How you feel about things right now?
I actually feel really good. Not the week I wanted to have in Hilton Head. Didn't put up the scores I wanted, but been swinging it really good, hitting the ball great, and you're just looking forward to getting some work in this week and moving forward.
You know, you've sort of revolutionized the way that folks who come to the golf course dress, and certainly the fashion aspect of it is something that you've had a lot of fun with. Does it surprise you when you see old fat guys my age wearing the Puma clothes and the white belt that you're wearing on the golf course?
Yeah, a little bit. I didn't expect to have as big as an impact as I have had. It's awesome to show up to the course and see the kids dressed like me and, wearing the hats. It's awesome to know that I have that much of an impact on someone's life. So, I've always looked up to certain people as a good role model, and it's something I've wanted to kind of take on and pass on to the younger generation. So it's definitely cool to, like I said, see the kids out there rocking the hats and the Puma gear, and whether it's a 8-year-old kid or a 50-year-old man wearing the hat, it doesn't bother me. They're just being supporters.
No, that's exactly right. And I don't know if you got a chance to make it to the PGA show this year, but I mean, Puma had it all out there. It was very impressive, the fashion shows and the display that they had. I mean, they're in 100% support of what you guys are doing.
Yeah, they're a great company to work with. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it to the show. Playing my first event in San Diego, but I heard it was a great show this year, and that Puma and Cobra both did a great job.
Yeah, they certainly did. Let's talk about a little bit about the fame aspect of it. I mean, I think that because you've been now almost 4 years on the PGA Tour, people forget you're only 23 years old. Most of your friends are just now getting out of college. How have you been able, and you've done it so admirably, handle the fact that everywhere you go, you're being recognized now?
Well, it comes with the territory. It's not something I'm going to try and really hide from too much, or I don't want to be recognized or anything like that. It's, like I said, it comes with the territory, and if I want to be one of the best players in the world, I'm going to get recognized. But every once in a while, it's nice to hide out and be able to hang with the boys a little bit.
Sure. Now, did it surprise you? I mean, when the first few times people walked up to you and said, "Hey, are you Ricky Fowler?" Were you like, "Wow"? I mean, this is surreal.
Yeah, it started picking up kind of my first year on tour. Once I was playing week to week and playing well, getting on TV, and whether it be getting recognized, just walking through the airport, I mean, places I didn't expect to really be recognized. And then it's kind of grown from there. And it's cool. Like I said, it's an honor to be where I am and be recognized. But you know, I don't want to try and hide from anyone or make it seem like I don't want to be recognized.
When you see something like Sergio at the Masters a couple of weeks ago, where, you know, he obviously had just had enough of answering questions about winning major championships and kind of, I wouldn't say lashed out, but he just basically said, you know, I don't think I'm good enough. When you see it, when you see the fame or whatever it is affect a player like that, what runs through your mind? How do you prevent that from happening to you in the future?
Well, I felt like I didn't really get to see the whole coverage or how he answered things, but I felt like, you know, maybe he was trying to use a little reverse psychology and take a little pressure off and say that he was kind of just going to play golf and try and play for second, third, and you never know, it could fall right into your hands. So I think that's kind of the way it almost works in major championships, where you just kind of get yourself around and you get yourself in the right position come Sunday without putting much pressure on yourself, and you play a few good holes and you end up right there on top.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you certainly can't win one on Thursday. You have to just build the you have to build the tournament as your buddy Bubba Watson did at the Masters. And it was, first of all, it was very cool to see you guys there to support him when it was over.
Yeah, it was obviously a great week for him. You know, not the place I wanted to be on Sunday at that time. I would have liked to have been coming up 18 with him, but no, it was. I guess in a way it was a nice way to finish the week off for me. I had a decent day on Sunday, got a decent finish, and then to watch one of my best friends win the Masters. You know, I definitely got the heart pumping, the blood flowing, and you know, it was fun to watch that playoff.
How much motivation for you is that?
That was huge. You know, to be there in regulation and in the playoff and watch him win and to feel the pressure and feel the blood flowing. I mean, that's what we play golf for. I mean, being under pressure and being in contention. And you can definitely feel it as a player watching one of your best friends in that situation, and makes you want it even more.
Do you get enough downtime? I mean, I know you're doing a lot of media today. You're hosting Morning Drive with Gary one day this week. This is supposed to be a week off for you. Do you get enough of just chilling?
Well, last 2 days I got to just chill. After.
I was used to that kind of chilling in my career. You're always still replaying shots when you're not playing the weekend, though.
Yeah, no. Last 2 days was nice. Shut it down. Went and hit some ball. Play 18 this morning, and I'm actually going to go play with Bubba tomorrow. But no, it's definitely get some nice downtime. I like my 2 week breaks better. Usually on the 1 week breaks, it's you know, get home, unpack, hang out, repack, and leave. Not a whole lot of downtime there. So when we get the 2 week breaks, you actually get a nice week in the middle of actual downtime.
And what's a typical day? I mean, obviously you're a professional golfer. You're doing something golf-oriented every day. What are you doing to take your mind off of it, though? Is it movies? Is it video games? Is it exercise? How do you get away from the game?
Well, outside of I mean, I do spend a lot of time with the course. I'll go up to, like today, I went up to Medalist, practice, and play 18. But outside of that, when I'm trying to just relax, you know, whether it's out on the water, take the paddle boards out, jet skis, get out and go fishing if the water's right. Definitely spend some time in the gym, make sure, keep the body moving the right direction. Other than that, I mean, it's hard for me to stay away from the golf course for many days.
That's great. I mean, you're young, you have a lot of energy. That's the way that it's that's the way that it's supposed to be. How are you handling expectations? I know you have enormous expectations for yourself, but you're also every week hearing expectations from outside entities. How do you differentiate between those two and just focus on what you know you can accomplish?
Yeah, definitely. You know, makes it tough with whether it be stories coming out or expectations on winning or anything like that. And I do the best that I can to, in a way, ignore those and focus on my own goals. which coming into the year, I had my three main goals, which I'm still working on them, and it's getting my first win, making the Tour Championship, and playing in the Ryder Cup. So, like I said earlier, I feel like my game's really good right now. I've been swinging really well, and just need to get a few putts to drop and get rolling on those.
Well, talk about the last Ryder Cup, because the only reason that the U.S. team had a chance after the early parts of the singles matches was because of the way you came storming back in yours. How important is that to be a part of that team? You've been on Walker Cup teams now, a couple of those, and a Ryder Cup team.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. The two Walker Cups I was a part of, I was with some great players. We have 8 of the 10 from 07 with status on the PGA Nationwide Tour, and a few guys from 09, and then being the Ryder Cup 2010, it was awesome. The Monday and the singles matches, playing behind Tiger, watching him, roll through his match and throwing fist pumps. When he made the huge putt on, I think it was on 12, that was when I was 4 down. That got me going, and on the previous hole, Phil was across the lake throwing me a fist pump, trying to get me going when I was down. So being in between those two guys and then going on the run that I did was a special moment for me.
Yeah, I think I just got chills hearing about it. I mean, that was very cool. And I guess those are guys now that you look up to and, at least from a game standpoint, want to try to emulate the careers that they've had.
Yeah, they're two guys that I like to spend time around when I can. Tiger and I are both up at Medalist and practice together every once in a while, and it's obviously someone who's done a lot for the game and with the game. So, and the same thing with Phil. I mean, anytime I get a chance to play with him, whether it be on Tuesday or just anything. Last year we went to Augusta together after Bay Hill, and they're two guys that have done quite a bit in their careers, and if I can take anything from them, I try and get as much out of it as I can.
Well, now there's a group of guys who are looking up to you. A lot of them are of the similar age group as you. And I wanted to ask you, I know you're pressed for time here. I wanted to ask you, there's the changes to Q School coming. Do you see it more likely that this year being the last year that you can go to Q School and get your card, that we're going to see maybe not a mass exodus, but a large group of players coming out of college trying to get their cards this year? Do you think that that's going to have an effect?
I definitely think it's going to have an effect on, how players come out of college and what their plans are when they turn pro and where they try and get status. With this being the last year of Q School, may see some guys making a jump. And then with the new Q School, I know everything's not set in stone yet, but, it's going to be tough because there's going to be some guys that may, try and get status in Europe or, the Q School going straight to the Nationwide Tour. It's going to be something that will kind of evolve over time and see what kind of plans college players and amateurs make.
Folks like kids like Peter Uihlein and those guys, have they asked your advice at all, or have you just said, pick your path and do the best you can on it?
No, not so much yet. I mean, a lot of these guys are coming out. They're obviously ready to play and great players on their own. For the most part, I just try and help out with, helping them realize a little bit of time management and just helping them settle in a little bit to the PGA Tour.
Yeah, you've got a pretty nice stretch of tournaments coming up with not only the Crowne Plaza, but other tournaments in which you've played extremely well, Memorial, et cetera, et cetera. What's your schedule like going forward?
I'm playing New Orleans next week and then off to Quail Hollow Players and then rest up for the Crowne Plaza, which we're really looking forward to that, one of the better courses we play all year. And then, like you said, place where I've had success up at Jack's Tournament Memorial. So I think we have a good stretch to get things going.
Well, good. Well, we look forward to watching. I know that you have to go. Enjoy a week off. You've certainly earned it.
Thank you. I will. Good talking to you, John.
And what morning are you on the morning drive? I just want to make sure we get that right.
Wednesday morning.
Wednesday morning. We'll all be watching, Ricky.
I'll be there bright and early.
Yes. No, don't be nervous now, and don't let Gary Williams pick on you too much.
I'll give it right back to him.
Good luck to you. Thanks for your time. Thanks.